As you remember, the book of Hosea, we have God is communicating through his prophet Hosea that there is judgment coming to the nation of Israel. And so we're just going to be picking up where we left off. And as I prepared this passage to teach, I kept coming across these ideas of love and loyalty was a big one that we don't talk about a lot, loyalty. And as I think about love and loyalty, I tend to think about man's best friend and a dog. And this is my dog. And anyways, so there was one day that Kylie and I, it was a Friday. We were blessed that we have most Fridays off. And we said, well, let's go out and get some fresh air, take the dog for a walk. And we went up to Bear Mountain, New York. Has anybody been there? It's not too terribly far from here. It's a really beautiful place. We really like it. So we went, and we were hiking this trail. And, you know, as a puppy, we took her to Double Trouble and other trails. And she learned that she could kind of run and follow the trails. And when she would get a little far, we'd call her back. She'd stop, wait for us, catch up to her. And, you know, then we let her go again. And, you know, we had a lot of fun hiking with our dog. Her name is Tater, by the way, as in Tot. And so she was with us at Bear Mountain, and just like always, you know, we got away from where there were other people, and we let her off the leash and let her run. I said, okay, too far, come back. She did not come back. And so we said, Tater, come back, and we're calling her, come back, come back. At this point, we're starting to get a little nervous. We can't even see her anymore. Once in a while, through some brush, we'll see a little tail, you know, little brown fur. And, you know, we can't seem to catch up with her. And Kylie, she's freaking out. She's going, oh, no, my dog. She's going, I don't know. It's unintelligible. We've got to find this dog. Well, finally, she stops. She's smelling something. And she's way, way out. But she locks eyes with me. And as soon as she locked eyes with me, I turned around and ran in the opposite direction. And her instincts kicked in. Not her loyal instincts, but her instincts to hunt and chase kicked in. And that's how we finally got her back. And we never let her off the leash again. Because that love and loyalty that man's best friend is supposed to have was not reliable. So we're going to be in our Bibles, Hosea chapter 6. Turn there with me if you would. I'm also going to have it up on the wall here. And we're going to talk about true love and loyalty. Hosea chapter 6. All right, so we're going to start out in verse 4. It says, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early. So he starts out by saying, what am I going to do with you two? We remember Ephraim is one tribe that's in the north, but God uses that as like a term of endearment for the whole nation of Israel. He refers to him as Ephraim. And then in our last message with Hosea, we talked about how Judah's in for some judgment too. So God is saying, what am I going to do with you two? And it kind of makes me think of a father talking to wayward children. What am I going to do with you? Now, there are two types of students. There are students like my wife, and we met in high school, who, you know, they do all their work, and the teachers love them, and they love the teacher, and everyone else hates them because they're such good students. And it's getting close, the bell's about to ring, and, oh, teacher, you didn't assign us any homework. And then you have students like me, where, Travis, you forgot your book. What about your other book? Okay, you forgot your notebook. Where is your backpack? You have nothing with you. You know, and I was always getting in trouble. And then finally, you know, I was at a Christian school. I was blessed to be able to go there. And my teachers, they cared about me in spite of, you know, my foolish ways. And once in a while, they would just go, Travis, what am I going to do with you? And that's, you can hear that here in the tone as you read. You can hear, oh, Ephraim. Oh, Judah, what am I going to do with you? And what's important to note here is that God is not actually at a loss for what to do. God is all-knowing. He's sovereign. He has a plan that was laid out before the foundations of time. He's not at a loss for what to do. What's actually the case is that he's emotionally broken about what he must do. Not at a loss for what he should do, but broken about what he must do. God knows that he needs to punish his children. And he's heartbroken about that. He knows that his children, the only thing that's going to fix him is punishment. And he's heartbroken that he has to do that. He's not at a loss of what to do. And then, most of the time, when parents come to that point, what am I going to do with you? I don't want to punish you. It's because the child has gotten themselves into a dilemma, a predicament, where something must be done. So the question is, what is that dilemma that the nation of Israel and even Judah has gotten themselves into? And so God tells them. He doesn't just punish them with no explanation. That's not like God to do that. He says, your loyalty is like dew and fog. First of all, it's fickle. You can't count on it. Just like my dog's loyalty could not be counted on. It's fickle. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. And next, it's without substance. And we're going to get further into this later. Fog and dew is not something you can just grab hold of and grasp. It's like, it's not really substantial. There's nothing to it. Their loyalty is without substance. And lastly, it goes away quickly. The dew dries up late in the morning, and the fog slowly dissipates, and you're left with no trace that it was ever even there. And that's the case with the loyalty of these people. They start to do something good. They start to get something going. And then it's over. It's done. It's gone. And they're back to doing the things that they're supposed to do. And you can really get the feeling of that if you read the book of Judges. Oh, Jesus, or Father, God, we love you. And we're going to worship you. And then they get out of trouble, and then they go do something they're not supposed to do, and they forget all about it. Their loyalty goes away quickly. But second of all, I want to talk about this specific word that's being used here, this word loyalty. Some versions say mercy. Does anybody have something besides loyalty or mercy in your Bible? Raise your hand. What do you have? Faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Since there's so many different things out there, usually if you're looking at versions and they're all so different, usually it's because there's a word that is translated from that we don't really have a good word that matches it. And in this case, this is a Hebrew word here, chesed. Can we all say chesed? That was very beautiful. Yeah, good job, guys. So chesed is a loving kindness that implies loyalty and holiness. Loving kindness to God. It's a very loaded word. Loving kindness to God that implies that our behavior will be loyal to Him and that in living loyal to God, we will be holy. Does that kind of make sense? The whole crux of this thing is built around this word. Is anybody still confused? Okay. So this is a very important word here, and it's going to come up a second time as we begin to see the rest of this passage. Loving kindness that implies loyalty and holiness. So let's move on to verse 5 here. It says, therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. So we had kind of this tone that reminds us of a father speaking to his children. But moving forward here, I tend to hear this more as a lover to his spouse, a husband to his wife. I have slain them with my words. And we're going to get further into this, and it'll make much, much more sense. I've slain them with my words. That means the things that I said were painful to hear. That doesn't mean it just boom, and then everybody's knocked over. Some of the kids in the youth group play a video game where the guy yells and he kills dragons. It's not like that. It means that the words I have said are painful to hear. And going forward with that, it reminds me of Hebrews, a passage in Hebrews, verse 4, if you want to turn there with me. If not, I'll just go ahead and read this. Chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the hearts. In today's day and age, words that are painful to hear are hard to come by. Sometimes people feel like if they feel bad about themselves, it's your fault. If you said something to me and I feel bad about myself, it's your fault. And that's not the case. If you've done something bad, you deserve to feel bad about yourself. And that's the case. There are many times in my life that I have deserved to feel bad about myself. But it's for the purpose of repentance. That's what the purpose is of these hard-to-hear words. You say, look, you've done something wrong, and here's why it was bad. And when you feel that, where you feel that, oh, this cuts deep, this hurts. In the New Testament, it refers to it as being cut to the quick or cut to the heart. That's an opportunity to turn to repentance. It's not just God being mean and, oh, you should all feel terrible about yourself, walk around depressed. No, it's conviction. I'm going to give you these hard-to-hear words, and I want you to take them and make a change in your life in light of those words. And so that's what he means here by my words. I have slain them by my words. Because the word of God cuts deep into a sinful person, and that's what we all are. Sometimes God's word is hard to hear. It's painful. It's just to draw repentance in our lives. Now, going forward here, we're going to read verses 6 to 7. For I delight in loyalty. Here's that word again, chesed. I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. There, they have dealt treacherously with me. So here he says, I desired your loyalty, your loving kindness, more than sacrifice. I desired knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So imagine here, we've got a wife talking to her husband, okay? And there's a wife, and she has a husband who gets the door for her every time they get ready to leave somewhere. Gets the door for her, you know, here, honey, get into the car. I've got the door for you. He brings her flowers, you know, once a week, you know, he's bringing her flowers. But he's also the kind of husband that runs around on her and cheats on her. He's also the kind of husband that browbeats her, says mean things to her. What do you think she's going to think of those flowers and him getting the door? She's lucky if she doesn't put those flowers down the garbage disposal. They don't mean anything. Those flowers don't mean anything. And God is saying, look, I've expressed to you my desire for you to make sacrifices to me. I've given you a plan of how to do it. And I've told you it's important to me that you make sacrifices. But what's more important to me than that is that you're doing it out of love. Because if you don't love me, then you're just killing animals for no good reason. I want your love more than I want your sacrifices. I want your love more than I want silly flowers. And he says, you like Adam have sinned against me. Imagine that he's saying mankind here. You have done what humans do so well, and you have turned your back on me. You have done what humans do so well, and you've rejected me and your love for me. In love, love is the whole crux of the matter here. God wants for you to love him. That's all that matters. I'd like you to turn once again to a very familiar passage, John chapter 21, 15 to 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of God, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. This passage shows us that true love brings out actions in our life. If we love God, then we will serve Him. We will want to read His Word. We will want to gather in the body that serves Him. If we love Christ, we will serve Him. But the deepest part of this passage is where Jesus asked Peter three times, Do you love me? And there's a lot of people I know that struggle with this idea of, do I truly have a relationship with Christ? Am I truly saved? Can I count on my salvation? And they ask themselves a lot of complicated questions. And they really stress themselves out. I've seen where people just, they lose sleep over this even. Am I truly saved? I believe if that's you tonight, I'd encourage you to ask yourself the question that our Savior asked Peter. Do you love me? Do you love Jesus? That's the question. And it's not any more complicated than that. And to some people, unfortunately, this might be a weird way to think about things. I believe in Jesus. What do you mean love? Love Jesus. It's that simple. A loving relationship with Jesus. It brings about repentance in our lives because we want to serve and please Him. It brings about service to Him because true love brings about action. But the heart of the matter is, do we love Jesus? He loves us. Now, Jesus showed us what love was on the cross. John 3:16 is probably a verse that many of you chose when Pastor Dave asked for a verse dealing with love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse tells us what love is. Jesus showed us what love is when He died for us. So if we are truly saved, if we are truly repentative and in a relationship with Christ, we will be in love with Him, striving to learn better the love that He showed us and showing that love to other people. The takeaway tonight is simple. Do you love Jesus? Because that's all He cares about. And in the end, that's what matters most. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we thank You for this time together. Father, I pray that You will help us to just fall deeper in love with You. And that as we come to church and we hear more about You, that the knowledge of You will bring about love in our life. And that love will bring about a loyalty to You. Father, I pray that You will change our hearts. Because loving You does not come natural. Loving ourselves does. Lord, change our hearts. Give us the power and ability to love You and love others. And may we learn about love through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 654, Change My Heart, O God.